In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, we read from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1. And in it, we read the Annunciation of the birth of Christ to Our Lady, the ever-Virgin St. Mary, by the Archangel Gabriel. And in that Annunciation, he tells Our Lady, the Virgin, about her cousin, Elizabeth, the mother of St. John the Baptist. And he says to St. Mary that Elizabeth, who was barren, will now have a child. And then he says a nice verse, which is going to be the focus of our contemplation this morning. He says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And the angel here is declaring a truth about our God, that He is the God of the impossible. The God of the impossible. In other words, He makes things that are impossible to happen, happen. And we know all of this in our life. Many times, if you think in your life, your personal life, what has happened in your life, a lot of times there are things that are impossible that happen through the God who makes it possible. And we see through the pages of the Old Testament and even the New Testament, we see that this, our God, does the impossible all the time. If you remember, He parts the Red Sea for Moses and Israel. He rains manna and the quails, gives water from a rock. He adds 15 years to the life of Hezekiah the king. He tears down the walls of Jericho just by a blast of the trumpet. He opens the eyes of a man born blind. He turns water into wine. He raises Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days. He, my dear brethren, is the God of the impossible. He makes the impossible possible for us. And we have to have this faith that He will and He can, and He is able and He is willing to do it. Now, the next question, we're going to have 4 very quick points about trying to understand how God can do the impossible in my life. How God can do the impossible in my life. First, we have to remember that the Lord promised to us to do the impossible when we ask. Listen to what it says in 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for. St. John in his epistle is saying to us very clearly, ask according to God's will, and whatever you ask for, it will happen. How many of us stand before God with that faith in our prayer? This is what he's saying to us. Today, for those of you who heard this in Iksal, the miracle of the moving of the Muqattam mountain, that's impossible to move a mountain. Just to move a house. Can any of you pick up a house and move it by yourselves? Imagine today we hear the impossible happening. Why? Because the patriarch, Pope Emba Brahm, he went in, he took all of the monks and the bishops and the people, he went into the church and they prayed and they fasted for 3 whole days. The God of the impossible acted today in the 11th century. What God was, He said He would. And this is the first point. This is the first point that we have to remember. When we need something, when we ask something from our Lord, right? We should remember and hold on to that promise that He said to us. He said He will do it, like He did today. So the first point is to hold on to that promise. Have faith in that promise. So if you have a problem in your life, and you're thinking there's no way it can be fixed, no solution whatsoever, don't know what school to go to, you don't know who to marry, you don't know how this financial problem is going to be resolved, you don't know what to do with your son or your daughter, you don't know where your future is, you don't know what job to take, you don't know, everything is just completely closed in your face. Know and hold on and trust the promise that God had made to us, as we see in our history. And this is why we read the lives of the saints. This is why we have them as examples for us, to remember their example and to do what they do. Not to do what the world does, but to do what they do. What kind of insurance did he have, this patriarch, our Pope Ambabraham? Insurance for him to save him and all of his people. And you know how violent people were back then. Especially since we were a minority and are still a minority in Egypt. He could have easily just gave an order to kill everybody in the kingdom, everybody in Egypt, and destroy all the churches. But instead, after God acted, what happened? He was offering him to build. He was offering him money. And look at how holy and pious and righteous and honest our Holy Father Ambabraham was. He didn't take a penny. He didn't want a reward. He didn't want a reward from God, from El-Mu'izz. Because God was the one who did the impossible, not El-Mu'izz. God was the one. So I want you to think, hold on to the promise. Trust that He can do the impossible. This is the first point. The second point is that we have to, obviously, pray for it. We must pray. Remember the story of Elijah the prophet in the Epistle of St. James, chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, he's saying, he was just like us, just like you and me. And he prayed earnestly, diligently, hard, with a purpose, with a conviction, with a belief. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. Maybe we should pray so that it would stop raining today. We should ask Elijah, the prophet's intercessions or prayers. It did not rain for 3.5 years because he prayed. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. The God of the impossible acts again through our prayer. So the first, we have to trust that he will give us. Second, we have to what? Pray. We have to pray. Remember what the Lord said in Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 18, verse 1. Men always should pray and not lose heart. Men should always pray and not lose what? Heart. Don't lose heart. The third, to experience the impossible becoming possible, I must live a life of purity. Tahara. Purity. Purity in the eyes of God. Remember, right before the Lord opened before the eyes of Joshua and the priests, the Levites, and all the children of Israel, what river? The Jordan River. The Jordan River. Right before. This is what Joshua says to the people. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Sanctify yourselves. In other words, make yourselves holy. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The Lord will do wonders among you. So he was telling them, sanctify yourselves. Be pure. Be faithful. Look at what Isaiah says. And this is a verse I came across when I was preparing this, and it really alarmed me. Look at what this says, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. He's asking a rhetorical question. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. In other words, does God have a short hand that it can't save? Or is His ear heavy because it doesn't hear? He's being kind of, I would dare to say, sarcastic, asking a question. Then he says, this is the reason why God's hand becomes short and God's ear becomes heavy. This is what he says. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear you. Purity, righteousness, we must have that. That's the third point. In order for God to do the impossible, for God to make the impossible possible, I must separate myself from sin. I must strive and work to live a holy and pure and sanctified life. Look at the people of Nineveh. Once they repented, what happened? It says what? Rafa'i ghadabu annuhum, lifted His wrath away from them because they repented. Imagine how sweet repentance is. Imagine the taste of it. Imagine I live in a life of sin and this gives me the taste of the kingdom. For God to lift His anger from me just by repentance. Something so simple. So far we have what? Before we get to our fourth and final point. Trust in the promise. Pray. Right? Third, live a life of purity, righteousness, sanctification. And the fourth and final thing to experience the impossible, to become possible, is that we must have patience until the Lord God reveals His work and reveals His acts in our life. You see, for every time, for everything, God has a time. Look at what the book of Hebrews says, chapter 6, verse 12. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Like the promise to Abraham. He promised him a son, and he gave him Isaac how many years later? 25 years later. Talk about waiting. Talk about patience. Like the promise made to Eli the priest, for Hannah, the mother of who? Samuel, the prophet. Saying that she will have a child, and this child will become great, and he will become a prophet. Well, that occurred 20, 30 years later. But God uttered it, and it happened. So, today's gospel gives us a glimpse of what God does, who God is, and what we can do, or what we can expect from God to help us in the time of our trouble, in the time of our sorrow, in the time of our need. God is great, and God is wonderful. Wondrous are Thy works, O Lord, says the psalmist. How wondrous are Thy works, O Lord. How great is Your work, O Lord, in my life. How great You move the mountain of the Muqattam today to save us. Move the mountain of the sin in my heart. Move the mountain, this problem in my life. Move, O Lord, all of the obstacles that are between You and me. Like a boulder, like a pothole, like a telephone pole in front of my car. God is wonderful. And through His action, He can do the impossible in our life. May God give us this strength and this faith and the wisdom to do His will at all times. And glory be to God.